good girl, I was just here gonna turn. Lean back and stay a while, I was just here gonna turn.
On Monitor 67, that's us. Morgan, that's me. 3 minutes away, a chat with Lorne Greene, Dan Blocker, Mike Land, and the stars of Bonanza, who will reveal the fact that their TV ranch is about to become a tourist reality.
I'm still not through missing you. I'm still not through feeling blue.
Andy Russell.
101, the new filter cigarette from Chesterfield. It's 1 millimeter longer than the hundreds.
A silly millimeter longer.
101.
A silly millimeter longer.
101.
A silly millimeter longer? Wait till you taste it. The 101, it's one better.
A silly millimeter longer.
101.
A silly millimeter.
Television's most popular Western, bar none, is NBC's Bonanza series. The bar none sounds like the name of a ranch. It's so popular, in fact, that fans of the show want the ranch to change from a fictional item to a physical fact. And the fact is, it's going to. The stars of the show, Lorne Greene, Dan Blocker, and Mike Landon, give Monitor all the details of the story as they chat with reporter Bob Chez of station KOH, Nevada, on location.
For years, gentlemen, being a native of Nevada, I can attest to this. One of the most popular tourist attractions of the state has been one that doesn't exist. Ever since you went on the air with Bonanza, people have been flowing into Nevada and asking, where is the Ponderosa Ranch? Well, depending on who they came across, they were either led on a wild goose chase up in the hills someplace or were given the stark fact that there was no Bonanza Ranch. But now, I'm happy to say the situation will soon be remedied. Lorne, how much in the future is the actual Bonanza Ranch?
Well, fiction will become reality in a very short time, as a matter of fact. We're working on that right now. And I would say that by next May 15th, we hope to have a grand opening, up here at the north shore of Lake Tahoe at Crystal Bay. And we'll have the ranch house here, exactly in every specific detail. And in addition to that, we'll have a great western town, which we think, which will probably become one of the finest attractions of its kind in the West.
Mike, how did this germ of an idea suddenly spring into flower?
Well, Dad always promised me I'd have a house to live in. Well, it's just something that's come about. We've been talking about it for a number of years, and this is, of course, the spot for it, since this is the mythical location of the Ponderosa Ranch, and Bill Anderson had a chunk of property that looked just right for it, and we've just gone ahead with it. We're all very happy about it. We haven't been able to shoot the exterior of the ranch house outside. It's always been inside, Stage 16.
All of these buildings will be practical. Most of them will even be able to shoot inside. And consequently, it'll give us time, or make available us more time, to shoot up here instead of having to go back to Hollywood and shoot inside a soundstage. We'll have it built in right here for us.
So actually, you'll be doing all the exterior shooting in the outdoors.
As much as possible.
As much as possible. It's possible to do in being away from the central base, which is the Paramount Studios.
Do you find much trouble in dubbing in wind conditions like we have here today?
No, we don't find any trouble.
The sound man finds trouble.
When nature doesn't provide us with some, we create our own.
Talking to you individually earlier indicates to me that you spend quite a bit of time off the set, together as well as on.
Yeah, we spend quite a bit of time. As a matter of fact, really the only fellows that I'm really very close with in the business as far as actors are concerned are Lauren and Dan. It's been a very fortunate relationship. You know, you work with guys for 9 years, and if you weren't working with two nice guys, such as the fellas I'm working with, it could be a very uncomfortable situation. But fortunately, we've gotten along very, very well.
I'll have to second that. We are a couple of nice fellas.
No. You sure?
We are two of the nicest fellas you know, Michael.
Now, Lauren, if you'll stop twisting my arm, I can go back to the interview.
Would you like to return the pat on the back, or have you got a dagger in that?
No, as a matter of fact, we're not only, we spend 5 days a week, 10 months a year, 12 hours a day, approximately, on shooting Bonanza. We spend more time together than we do with individual families. The fact is that when we're away from the set, we spend quite a bit of time together, and we're also a business partner. But I think the relationship is a very good one. Very healthy one, and it's the only kind of relationship, actually, that could be of such lasting nature.
Gentlemen, thank you for letting me serve as the square for this friggin' round table. And thank you for letting me visit the set here. I found it most enjoyable. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you, Bob.
You know, a couple of years ago, I interviewed Dan Blocker, and do you know what he used to do for a living? He was a school teacher. Guess what he taught? English.
Excedrin headache number 006. The spy ring.
We entrusted you with a very dangerous piece of espionage, understand?
It was dangerous, but we
came through.
We encountered no difficulty with the umbrella.
What umbrella?
Do you not understand me?
I left my umbrella in the
umbrella.
I'm cold.
Umbrella.
That's
never.
About the cantaloupe. Did you retrieve the cantaloupe from the open garden in Samarkand?
Yes.
Please,
we put
quickly.
The cantaloupe in the antelope's mouth, in the museum in Madrid, where
not
it's now.
In Madrid, in Cairo.
Cairo!
The cigar means
well, I
Cairo
would never,
in code.
I would never have gone to Madrid.
Hand me the Excedrin bottle.
Do you have a headache?
An international Excedrin headache.
The world is full of Excedrin headaches. That's why you want Excedrin strength. Tablet for tablet, 50% stronger than aspirin for relief of headache pain. For Excedrin headaches, get Excedrin relief.
I'm afraid I'm going to have to make a very depressing report on both of you.
Mike McCormick, comeback player of the year and 20-game winner for the San Francisco Giants, is the guest of Sandy Koufax about 6 minutes from now. And won't be long until Nancy Sinatra sings on the Monitor Beacon. It's now 18 minutes past the hour. You're back with Monitor. Here's a good deal. Two for the price of none. Nancy Sinatra, Lee Hazelwood.
I've been away. The eagle flies, rode his wings far low in the sky. Kissed the sun, touched the moon, but he left me much too soon. His lady bird. He left his lady bird.
Lady bird, come on down. I'm here waiting on the ground. Lady bird, I'll treat you good. Ah, lady bird, I wish you
one moment, Sandy Koufax with the San Francisco Giants 20-game winner and comeback player of the year. Monitor Sports is brought to you by new extra-strength ultra-bright toothpaste.
$980, $990, $50,000 finished. Wow, what a day. You'd think I was the only girl that worked in this bank. All the men line up at my window. So what's the big attraction? I mean, how good could I look in this cage? Nothing's new except for my toothpaste. The Ultra Bright Toothpaste! Of course, that's it! It works! Ultra Bright gives your mouth sex appeal! New Ultra Bright Toothpaste, a taste you can really feel. New Ultra Bright gives your mouth sex appeal.
New Ultra Bright Toothpaste. A taste so wildly refreshing, you know your breath is the freshest, your teeth the brightest. That's sex appeal. And that's Ultra Bright.
You know it. After Ultra Bright, everything else is just toothpaste.
This is Sandy Koufax from Monitor Sports. My guest today, Mike McCormick of the San Francisco Giants. Mike, congratulations on a great year for the Giants. He may be the first player in history to be named to the Cy Young Award and the Comeback of the Year Award.
Well, thank you, Sandy. It's certainly been a change of pace for me as I've had somewhat of an up-and-down career.
Mike, speaking of changes of pace, somebody said that that's possibly the biggest thing that has happened to you as far as being a pitcher. You've come up with a great change and use it more effectively now than you used to.
Well, I believe the screwball certainly is the thing that's made a big difference for me. I never was overpowering, and certainly not now, but I think it's just a combination of changing speeds and the fact that I've been blessed with pretty good control, and certainly when you can throw the ball where you want it, you have a chance.
Mike, was pitching in Candlestick Park any great difficulty for you as far as the weather goes?
No, I think you can adjust to it. I will say that even this last year that my record was better on the road, believe it or not. They claim that our park's four left-handed pitchers, but I think where it has a tendency to bother you is in the late innings where you have a tendency to stiffen up, and this problem I don't have on the road.
Mike, what about that ballpark? Are there any plans to do anything about the wind that you know of playing up there? Have you heard anything?
Well, we haven't heard too much, even though they've talked of enlarging it and putting the football team in there, but I believe that possibly with this Kansas City move to Oakland, that it might even force the city of San Francisco now to really think hard about doing something to it, because it's difficult, and it's hard to draw people at night when it's real cold, and with another team in the area, maybe they'll work a little harder on doing something.
Mike, I think this was an interesting year for the Giants. I think everybody had to pick them as a contender. They finished second, but a long way out of it. Do you think the Giants are going to make any trades or do anything during the winter to change the ball club? And if you do, where do they need the help?
Well, I think they're going to try to shore up our infield. I think right now their objective would be a second baseman or shortstop or third baseman. The reason being that Hal Lanier can play second if they get a shortstop, or he can play short if they get a second baseman. But we had a lot of difficulty, seeing last year, getting any consistency out of our infield, and I believe they like to put Jim Ray Hart in left field. So that's why I mentioned third base. But there are other clubs that are going to try to make deals, and you know how hard it is to go out and get good ball players, but I'm sure that we will try, and this is what we need to be a contender next year.
Well, Mike, thank you very much. Good luck to you again next year, and good luck to the ball club. This is Sandy Koufax from Monitor Sports.
Sandy Koufax visits with the biggest names in sports every weekend on Monitor.
The whole world of stereo sound is available to you for your automobile and home on RCA Victor's Stereo 8 cartridge tapes.
Now a word from Chesterfield.
101, the new filter cigarette from Chesterfield. It's 1 millimeter longer than the hundreds.
A silly millimeter longer.
101.
A silly millimeter longer.
101.
A silly millimeter longer? Wait till you taste it. The 101,
it's one better.
A silly millimeter longer.
101.
A silly millimeter longer.
Wanderley, and so what's new?
This is Ed McMahon. We've had a minor revolution at our house in the bathroom. I went to wash my hair the other day, and gone were all those old shampoo bottles, and in their place, just one plastic tube. Alice, that's my wife, said from now on, this was it, a one-family shampoo. And it's a good idea. It's a concentrate shampoo made by the Breck people to be an all-family shampoo. Now, being concentrated, just a little makes plenty of lather. It's great for cleaning up a load of kids like ours. And again, being concentrated, one tube goes a long way, so you're not forever running out. Now, because it's Breck, it's a very good shampoo, full of conditioners and all that stuff. It even suits baby fine hair like my older daughter Claudia's. And it's in a plastic tube, so you don't have to worry about the little ones breaking it. So when they asked me to talk about Breck Concentrate, I was really pleased. Because the whole McMahon family has checked it out. And it's good stuff.
There's a lot of laughs at old Ed's house. Just a quick reminder that Monitor is your news and information center. Heard on NBC Radio throughout the nation. For instance, in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, people hear us on WCBG. Station break time all along the line, then we'll come right back. Henry Morgan here.
Hi, this is Bill Cullen, emphasis time off. Join me weekdays on NBC Radio.
He's reached the top in everything, but his wife cannot love him. Vittorio Gassman and Anouk M.A. star in the New York television premiere of The Success, tonight at 11:30.
Don't miss this absorbing and tragic drama starring Vittorio Gassman and Anouk M.A. Watch The Success on WNBC TV, Channel 4 in New York, tonight at 11:30. At Radio City, it's 59 degrees and sunny, humidity 38%. This is WNBC New York, the conversation station, 2:30.
This is Monitor 67, with a somewhat puzzled look at a report that hospital personnel in Chicago maternity wards are braced for a baby boom, which they say will begin this week. Their reason? Well, they note that late last February there was a big blizzard in the Windy City that kept much of the suburban population snowbound for approximately 5 days. Let's see, February, it's one, two, oh, never mind. Let's hear some music. Here's Horace Jankowski with, quite a coincidence, A Man and a Woman.
Thank you.
Next, the voice of Vic Dana, A Lifetime of Loving You.
It just happened yesterday, yet it seems it came my way before. Darling, I swear I felt your lips on mine at least a thousand times or more. Darling, we walked in the sun and we laughed when it rained on our dreams. Remember me, but we had always planned to be like this. Doesn't it seem so familiar when I take you in my arms and then we kiss? Darling, we walked in the sun and we laughed when it rained on our dreams. Oh, now it's all coming true. I've got you.
Here for Monitor 67. You'll meet Robert Serling in this half hour. He's the author of a fascinating new book, and he'll talk about that and why he doesn't mind always being introduced as Rod Serling's brother. Now let's go with Petula Clark and her fancy dancing man.
Dancing man, dancing man, who you think you're putting on?
Around the world, close-ups of people and events here and abroad, brought to you by VM, the voice of music, makers of stereo phonographs, tape recorders, and high-fidelity components. In 1 minute, a report from Moscow on the current Soviet position in the Vietnam War. This first.
VM, the voice of music, has everything but fame. You can get a whole lot more for your money if you just remember that name.
Look, girlie, don't talk to me about remembering VM, the voice of music. Some people forget, but they're not trying. But me, I check, I compare, I ask around, I get the inside dope. You take your stereo consoles, beautiful, beautiful, you know what I mean? Beautiful. Before I buy you big ticket merchandise, I know what's in there making it tick. And I can tell you these stereos are what you call a value, you know what I mean? A value. Well, that's what I've been telling you. You can do anything if you try.
VM, the voice of music, has everything but fame. You can get a whole lot more for your money if you just remember that name.
Now, Kenneth Bernstein, NBC News, Moscow.
Some optimists have professed to see a softening in the Soviet position on Vietnam peace talks in the past week, but they have pretty slim evidence to work on. The purported evidence is in the form of omissions. Last Sunday, the Moscow papers came out with the twice-a-year holiday slogans designed to inform the faithful of the latest twists in Kremlin policy. The usual outpouring of slogans was cut nearly in half, and in the process, foreign policy was almost entirely dropped. Only two trouble areas were mentioned, Vietnam and the Middle East. The Vietnam slogan said, "Shame to the aggressors," but it didn't repeat the usual calls for an end to the bombing of the North and the withdrawal of American forces from the South. The next major pronouncement was at Volgograd, where the Communist Party chief, Leonid Brezhnev, dedicated a war memorial. He denounced the United States for, using the standard phrase, criminal aggression in Vietnam. But the denunciation was most brief, and there were no demands on the bombing and on a pullout of troops. The optimists say the slogans and the Volgograd speech were opportunities to restate the Soviet position, and the omissions are significant. But it's also possible that the occasions simply weren't deemed right for significant foreign policy statements. For the pessimists who see no shift in the Soviet position, there are these developments. In a speech last month, Prime Minister Kosygin said the program of the National Liberation Front and the demands of North Vietnam's premier are the only possible road toward an end to the war. A new Soviet-Vietnamese military aid agreement has been signed. And this weekend, rallies are being held all over the Soviet Union to demand international united action for peace against the United States war in Vietnam. For this event, the familiar demands are repeated: halt immediately the barbarous bombing and withdraw American and allied troops from South Vietnam. Optimists, pessimists, and simply realists are searching for more tangible evidence that the Russians, who refused to reconvene the Geneva Convention, have any new view on how to achieve negotiations. Kenneth Bernstein, NBC News, Moscow.
Ring Around the World, another in our weekend series of close-ups of people and events here and abroad. This report also brought to you by State Farm Mutual.
This is Al Kapp for State Farm Mutual. Do you realize that people under 25 have taken over the growing of 90% of all the hair in the United States? And they're taking over on our highways, too. So it's time for the rest of us to start a mass takeover of our own. If we haven't already, we'd better take our cars over to the nearest State Farm agent and get them protected by the biggest car insurance company on the road.
Now, more monitor music as we find Ray Conniff and the Singers up the creek, but not without a paddle. Matter of fact, they've got one paddle, two paddles.
One paddle, two paddles, three paddles, four to take me home. 14 on the right, 14 on the left, 22 for Bobby May.
Thank you.
friendship. Your last alive to friends is going the way no more. One can, two can, three can. Lord, take me home. 14 on the right, 14 on the left. Take me to my lucky day. I'm not the best.
Let's synchronize our sundials. The time is 16 minutes before the hour. And you're on the monitor beacon. Heinrich von Morgan at Radio Central, starting off this segment with music by a man whose voice sounds somewhat better than his name, Engelbert Humperdinck.
Should I go or should I stay? The band had only one more song to play. And then I saw you at the corner of my eye. A little girl alone and so shy.
Sentiment echoed by every girl who's ever danced with me.
101, the new filter cigarette from Chesterfield. It's 1 millimeter longer than the 100.
A silly millimeter longer.
101,
a silly millimeter longer.
101.
silly millimeter longer? Wait till you taste it. The 101, it's one better.
A silly millimeter longer.
101.
A silly millimeter longer.
The opposite of sibling rivalry is, of course, brotherly love. And that seems to be the case with Robert Serling, who, besides being the brother of TV and movie writer Rod Serling, is a successful novelist in his own right. He, Robert, that is, has just written a new book entitled The President's Plane is Missing, and he discussed it with Monitor's Betty Grobley in Washington.
You told me that you feel Rod is a little more famous than you are,
well,
Rob.
Well, he's richer, he's handsomer, and he's younger.
Well, what a...
But I'm trying to get as famous as he is. It's funny, Betty. It's a handicap and an advantage to have a brother who's more affluent and more famous than you are, and it's also a challenge. The handicap is you're always sort of sitting around in his shadow. Every book published or every interview I've had, they always identify me as Rod Serling's brother. I can remember when he was going to college and I used to send him $10 a week so he could afford to date the girl he finally married. In those days, he was known as my brother.
And the advantages?
Well, the advantage, I borrow money from him. The advantages are that I think being connected with Rod, some of his fame kind of rubs off on me. I think maybe some people even might buy my book because they are great fans of his.
You tell me that you, as an author, have some pet peeves. What are these?
Well, one of them are people, friends, who automatically assume that authors get unlimited copies of free books to give away. And they'll invariably say, oh, I'm going to read your new book. Would you send me a free autographed copy? And I'm saying, yes, I'm going to send you a free copy, and the autograph is
$4.95. Mm. Has he had some experience with
that?
Well,
the first book I ever wrote, you know, it's a great thrill. The first book's like a first baby.
Yes,
I gave away so many free copies of The Probable Cause that when my first royalty statement arrived from AA, I owed them $78. The second peeve, Betty, is people who loan books. I'll meet someone like an airline pilot or a stewardess, and she'll say, oh, I've read your latest book. It's marvelous. I've loaned it to 23 other people.
Now, why does that bother you, though?
Because that's 23 people who didn't buy the book.
Oh,
and after all, I'm in business now to make money.
Can you, without giving us the plot, because there is a kicker, can you set it up for us, the premise of your book?
The premise is, what would happen if Air Force One crashed? And how the newspapers, the wire services would cover it. And, of course, I've added the gimmick of a mystery, that when they do find the airplane, the president's body is not on it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet everybody saw him get on the plane. And then from then on, the mystery becomes a crisis. Because what would happen if you couldn't find the president of the United States, if you knew Air Force One had crashed? Where is the president, and what happens in the government when you haven't got a corpus delicti, so to speak? You can't swear in a new president because you aren't sure what happened to the old one.
Now, your president, Haynes...
Jeremy Haynes.
Is this a composite of presidents you have known? Because you've been on the Washington scene for a long time.
It is. It's a composite of... He has Truman's courage and Eisenhower's idealism and Kennedy's wit and verb and youth and enthusiasm, and he has Johnson's political savvy and political knowledge and expertness.
Mm-hmm. You also established very well, I think, Robert Serling, that this is one of the loneliest jobs in the world, and one of the clawing crises always is to find someone that he
can
trust.
It is. I feel sorry for anybody who ever becomes president of the United States, and there's a line in this book when the president utters this, I don't want to give away the plot, but there's one line of dialogue at the end of the book where it just sums up what it means to have to make a lonely decision all by yourself.
Now, what did Jefferson say about being president of the United States?
Life in splendid misery.
And Abraham Lincoln's line was what?
And what is there in this damn place that would ever want to make anybody live in it?
We've been talking with Robert Serling. He's the author of The President's Plane is Missing. This is Betty Grobley for Monitor.
My brother has a brother who's in radio and goes around saying things like, here's Claudine Longet to sing Small Talk.
Oh,
Gladys? Gladys, something wild just happened. My husband kissed me goodbye this morning. But he's never done that. No, the same old house cold, the usual breakfast. My toothpaste? Well, I've changed to Ultra Bright, of course, that's it. Ultra Bright. It works. Ultra Bright gives your mouth sex appeal. New Ultra Bright toothpaste, a taste you can really feel. New Ultra Bright gives your mouth sex appeal.
New Ultra Bright toothpaste, a taste so wildly refreshing. You know your breath is the freshest, your teeth the brightest. That's sex appeal, and that's Ultra Bright.
Gladys, after Ultra Bright, everything else is just
Carpenter. This is Monitor 67. I'm H. Morgan, your semi-genial host. Do you have time on your hands? The Red Cross has places for many hands. And for all kinds of talents and skills. There's a place for you. Call your local Red Cross today. In New York, the number is 787-1000. People who are getting up in the world begin with Big Wilson. Monday through Saturday morning, WNBC's jolly, congenial giant uses wake-up humor, low-key conversation, and up-to-the-minute traffic reports to head your day in the right direction. For the latest news and the latest music, try New York's earliest morning man, Big Wilson, mornings 5 to 9 with WNBC. The Conversation Station. British theologian Davis tells Long John Neville why he rejected priesthood in the Roman Catholic Church Monday at 8 p.m. on WNBC New York.